Well, well, well. Look who's allowed back in this chair and back with my good friends hosting this show. We like to call Overdrive. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes, along with the O-Dog, along with Noodles. There was talk about this being a players-only show. There was some talk over the weekend that might have been a captain's meeting, and that all got changed today. That's all I'm going to say. How
Bottom
are you, boys?
Bottom line, the face of TSN is back in action. The face of tennis coverage and Maple Leaf coverage is back in the big chair, and that's the way we like it, and that's the way it should be.
Yep. Yeah, we'll take I'll take a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon with Mark Rowe. I mean, we can always have a players-only show, whether that's tomorrow or Wednesday. I mean, Brian's gone. He's gone. So it's just we'll
just
figure it
that,
out.
By the way, Brian's
why not,
gone.
Yeah, why not start a Monday afternoon with the face of TSN? I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how this came about, but I'm all right with it. I'm all right looking
you
in my monitor.
Brian's gone, Jamie. I was thinking to myself, you know, the first Monday I took my vacation, I was thinking, okay, where am I going? Like, where? And then I thought, I'm not going anywhere. you're just not going anywhere. Like, Hayes, you said Hayes is gone. No, he's not. He's at home.
I'm joking.
He's probably on it. I know.
He's
but
gone
just
for
the
week.
Idea of taking some time off and actually going somewhere, you're not going anywhere. You got to have a staycation. You got to figure out things to do around your house, around your hometown, go for drives, whatever. But
maybe he's working.
It's weird to say, I want to go somewhere, but you actually are not. You can't.
He could be working on a short game right now.
He could be and should be. I mean, Friday afternoon. Oh, I don't know if you heard this. From Amazon, it arrived, the putting green. He bought like a putting green or like, I don't know what it's called, like just to work on the short game 15 feet. And he was working on it in between segments. And he would come back. I could almost tell how he was shooting based on how we were going to start the new segment. Now, he had himself a real nice show the other day because his buddy Dwayne Casey called in.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you heard about it.
Was there any ass-kissing comments? Like, did Casey throw anything out there where you rolled your eyes and said, give me a break?
Well, not really. The only thing I was going to bring up is the fact that I think Dwayne Casey thought he was just calling the Brian Hayes show because Pooley asked a question about 7 minutes in, and I think it rattled Dwayne Casey. He was almost like, who the hell is that?
Do we have that easy, B?
Do you have it, Mulse?
I don't know.
That's a great point.
He actually, I mean, I think what happened is Dwayne Casey, and Pooley did ask a fantastic question about coaching, over-coaching, you know, coming back in these short tournament scenarios. Pooley said, are you concerned about potentially over-coaching? And he's like, that's a great point, but I know
that's
in his mind.
Great point.
I know in his mind he was like, who is that talking? So I just stayed out of the way. I let Larry King and his buddy do his thing. They just went head to head. It was a fantastic interview. But, you know, I'm happy to have the face of TSN in here today. I know, Ro, you look like you got a little sun, too.
Oh, man, I have been, you know, Brian talks about being, you know, like the all-time best gardener now with his setup. I have been forced into my garden for the last like week or so because we're doing renovations inside. So it's really the only place we can go. And it was like July last week. Like, that was a great week for you to take off.
It was.
I know
there was some fantastic weather. I finally made my way out to the golf course. And you're right, man. If you don't, I generally don't wear a hat when I'm golfing. If you take the odd, if you go the wrong day, no hat, no suntan lotion. And you guys know my tank top action here. I my shoulders are barbecued chicken right now, and it's been a good week off. Obviously, it's been a difficult week watching what's going on south of the border, but that's a whole other thing. I think if the universe or the world was like a hockey team, we need just a giant closed door players only meeting, you know, in a hockey team, Noodles, when everything hits the fan and you just have to say, you know what, someone has to stand up, have some leadership and blah, blah, blah. The world needs like a closed door players only meeting right now because we need to fix this.
You're right. Or the world needs everyone like a, you know, how you've had just a terrible run. You need a collective blowout and not the way that that's happening right now, obviously, but you need a good heart, for lack of better words, come to Jesus moment where everyone, you know, lays it out in the middle of the floor. And, you know, this is real life stuff. You know, this is, you know, reflecting over the weekend and just sitting back and thinking how this show was going to unfold. I mean, you know, we want to lay our feelings out there, obviously, but, you know, it's also myself personally, I've been just trying to take stuff in. Like, I want to listen. I want to learn, you know, from people that have gone through, have had struggles from, you know, we have friends all from different races, religions, been exposed to some awful things. And, you know, to me, you know, instead of, I want to support, I want to be a part, I want to be right side to side, but I also want to just sit back and learn from people who have been there and hear their voices. I think that's, I don't know if that's the right way, but that's, personally, I made that decision. I didn't make any statement on Twitter. I didn't do anything.
No, I know. And Jamie, media, that's one of the, what's one of the elements of this where people are like, well, Tiger Woods has got to step up. LeBron's got to step up and say something. And I think they should if they want to. But ultimately, that's not going to make the correct changes. I mean, they can come out and make statements, and it does get people's attention because they're big celebrities and they're black athletes and they're amongst the most popular people in the world. Yep. But they're the ones that aren't going to create the change. The change has got to come higher than that, and people have to change their way. Fixing bad cops, fixing racist people, that's what has to change here. Not LeBron James or Tiger Woods coming out of and making statements, which I think, you know, show support. That's great, and they're very popular, but it's got to come way above their head for the correct change to happen.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I this has been said before, and I don't mean to be insensitive towards the topic, but it really does feel like a boiling point for America. Sure. And I don't want to put Canada off the hook because there is racism in our country.
No question.
But this is, you know, obviously a story that is being, you know, it's wall-to-wall coverage on CNN or CTV News or CP24, but also on sports networks as well. Just because of the point that you guys both brought up, that you want the leaders in sports to speak out. And that maybe happens naturally or a little bit more naturally in the NBA and the NFL. You have African-Americans who, you know, dominate those sports. You don't see it as much in hockey, but you have seen those step up. Is there someone, and pick any sport you want, but is there someone that spoke out this weekend, guys, that really stood out to you, whether it's their words or whether it's just somebody that you didn't think had it in them to take that jump and speak on social media or on television or on radio?
Honestly, I've been, I mean, there's several. Honestly, there's not just one, Mark. I can't, what I'm seeing on Twitter is only just a small glimpse.
Sure.
But, like, there's some real strong figures that have come out and said some things and been there hand in hand. I don't know, and I will not make light of this, but I thought J.R. Smith, like him kicking, you know, somebody's ass for kicking in his window, and then his response right away, you could tell that he was like, this isn't a race thing. He's like, I was pissed off because he's like, this is, you know, I'm in my neighborhood. I'm hanging out. I'm trying to support. And he's like, an idiot walks up and kicks my window in. And he's like, I whipped his ass. I don't know why. I kind of thought, like, I'm like, that guy deserved his ass kicked because he wasn't. There were so many people hiding behind and using these peaceful protests as a shield for them to be idiots. Idiots will be idiots regardless of any front. And that's what we're seeing. You're seeing people looting. That's not the point of all of this. This is people that are pissed off and upset. I understand that. But how many times have we seen some really nice, peaceful protests and people trying to get the message across the right way?
Right.
And what's happening is some idiots are ruining it for those people. And they're all being lumped into it instead of, you know, weeding those bad seeds out, if that makes sense. And I don't know why. Again, I'm not going to allow J.R. Smith's actions to be – I'm not, you know – backing him and saying
it
should be beating up. It stood out for me because I think what he said was just wholeheartedly. He was like, I'm just living in my neighborhood and a guy walks up and kicks my window in. And, you know, I listened to him this morning, his statement. He was kind of, you could see he was a bit apologetic, but it was just his emotion. He's like, hey, I was, you know, out on the corner, taking it all in, watching the peaceful protests, and a guy walked up and kicked my window in, which was ridiculous. And, you know, I still believe that the bad seeds are giving are shining a bad light on something that is the
because the peaceful stuff is correct. Not what's going to be shown more.
Exactly,
than
that's not on
the cop
networks.
Cars that right. ran over a bunch of people in New York or the buildings right. that are on fire. So, you know, you commend those who have taken the courage to speak out, and you want to see that more. And I think we're all
a couple
the same
things
setting.
Stuck out for me, Mark, and you worked with them. Both of us, all three of us, have worked with them at the NHL Network. Kevin Weeks's comments.
Yeah,
I played with him in Carolina in the finals, and. I was a part of, you know, his team when some of those incidents happen, and it's just one of those things that you just it takes you back, and you just think about Weeksy and what his family went through and him growing up, and when he was playing minor hockey in Toronto, there was not a lot of black kids playing hockey, and he was so you can't imagine the stuff that he went through.
Yeah,
and Jalen Rose is another guy that sticks out. His comment stuck out for me, where he said, "I wish America loved black people as much as they love black culture." I thought that comment was just something. Jalen Rose usually generally has a pretty good spin on stuff and has good comments, and I thought that one really just stuck out for me, where it was just like, you know, you love the culture, but you got to love the people too. And I just
agree.
Thought that was a great comment from him.
There were just some real strong voices out there, and that's why I, for lack of better words, I just wanted to sit back and learn and sit back and listen and learn, and, you know, continue to try and educate myself. That's, you know, that's all we can do, and be better. I've heard a few comments out there. Be better. That should be a catchphrase for everyone involved. Is be better. Try and learn. You know, I don't have the words, and I. You know what? Like, I'll give you an example. Is, you know, Zach Smith just had a statement on Twitter. Like, I don't know if there are some athletes that are sitting at home going, you know, I need to have a voice, or I got to put something out there. I think everyone has kind of struggled with that. Thought process is like, do I need to say something? Do I have to say something? Do I want to say something? I think it's up to that individual and their prerogative. You know, I don't think any type of show of solidarity is the wrong scenario, but, you know, I see some criticism of, you know, certain statements. Well, this team put out a statement. Well, it wasn't good enough, and it wasn't. I think people are trying, but, you know, again, in this scenario, I would much rather listen and learn and follow in somebody's footsteps that I respect and maybe has blazed a path or is blazing a path for us, than to try and be out in front and really not know what I'm talking about, if that makes sense.
Well, everybody's got to just do better. You can say stuff and make in a statement, but what can happen is what's happened in the past and has happened routinely time and time again. Where it's, this is a big thing now, everyone's going to talk about it, and then it's just like, it's kind of, this is an awful thing to say, it's similar to the school shootings. It's like, it becomes a big talking point, and then it just disappears, and then all of a sudden it happens again. Gun control.
And that,
it's got to just, people have to do things better, instead
and that's
making
part of the frustration.
And making promises.
Because this is not the first time that we have seen, you know, police brutality, racism. Obviously, this is nothing new, and I think the frustration also is that you have a population right now that are saying, my parents had to go through this, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why am I going through this? This is 2020, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, the three of us can have opinions. We didn't live these lives where we are targeted. At 525, we have someone, Marcellus Wiley, who's a big, you know, big part of this show and a fan favorite. He is a black man living in Los Angeles who has a totally different perspective in it. And it'll be great to hear from him, because he's going to bring something that obviously is going to come organically to him, but is a different experience than the three of us will have.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, you know, and I'm sure Mark, like, we all have friends that are from different backgrounds and, you know,
my wife's Korean.
Yeah.
She makes a point of it every day. She's like, "Jeff, you don't understand what it's like. You're a white man, and you just don't understand some of the things. And unless you are, and now that I live with my wife and seeing what some of the nonsense, it's, you have no idea unless you're right there and you're seeing it live."
Well, and that's why I think it's important for people to listen and learn. and be better, like to try and curb their thought process, to try and, you know, call out things, to try and, you know, support. Like you said, time and time again, there's examples of really bad things. And what happens in the news cycle is 3 days later, 6 days later, things change because, oh, let's focus on this, let's focus on that. You know, I think there is, I'm hoping out of all of this that change can be implemented, and moving forward there is a different mindset for people that you know, want to be, to embrace it, and people that want to I don't know what the word is, to enforce that type of change. So there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of healing, there's a lot of things that need to be done, but you know, I don't want to sit here and preach, because that's not my place. My place is to listen and learn.
And we'll, like I said, we'll be doing that with Marcellus Wiley at 5:25, and I'm sure we'll learn something from him and his anecdotes and what he experienced over the weekend. Loaded show, guys. Darcy Tucker at 5:05. Really looking forward to talking to Mark Giordano in a couple of minutes, the captain of the Calgary Flames. One of the, we're talking about leadership, one of the great leaders in the NHL, and what you know, his role is when it comes to something like, you know, social injustice and kind of juggling that as being a hockey player, and also, you know, bridging this gap of going from playing a season, taking a few months off, and if everything works out, play playoff hockey after missing a few months. And then at 6:05, a broadcasting legend, in quotations, is going to be joining us.
Mark, I'm not sure if you know this, but a while back, Overdrive created a segment. It's called Yes Guy, No Guy, and other people in the station have been trying to use it. So one of the guy who has stolen it and used it many times, we'll have him on for a little Yes Guy,
No
Guy.
He tried to trademark it, I heard.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get the lawyers involved, maybe.
No.
I know. And there was some, you know, animosity, because when he was on the show, you know, he was trying to say that another co-host who's on this panel was not a professional reporter.
Like,
that feels like a year ago, that whole.
Yeah, there's been some things here, so we may have to iron a lot of
And then
of
I
that
beat
out.
Him in a quiz. I beat him in trivia for professional broadcasting. What a stiff that guy is.
Exactly. So.
I am, by the way, I don't know if you guys can see, paying tribute to the Tap Man by wearing the cans, because I'm an idiot and I forgot my earbuds.
No, I love it. I love it.
And every time I think I won't look too ridiculous, I look in the monitor right now, and they have a life of their own.
Like, buddy,
I feel
look
like
at
they
the ones
feel...
we have. We ours are worse, so
yeah,
you fit right in.
You guys look good. Anyways.
You just need a mustache, and you are the captain of the show right there. I love it.
Well, let's take a break. I'll put on the vinyl, and I'll play some records.
In your underpants.
I don't want to get tossed out of the building, so I won't do that. But as mentioned, Mark Giordano, Flames captain, will join us next as Overdrive continues on TSN 1050. We're also on TSN 4 and streaming on the TSN app. Overdrive continuing. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes alongside Jeff O'Neill and Jamie McLennan. We'll be joined by Flames captain Mark Giordano in a couple of minutes. It'll be great to talk to him about, stop me if you get too excited here, guys, hockey and hockey being played, which is crazy to say. It's been a few months since we can, and I know there's so many hurdles between now and when these games would actually happen, but the fact that there was a plan in place officially last week, how can you not get a little excited?
I'm a little excited, Mark, I will admit that, but I just find it awkward. And I know there are so many rules and regulations and so many things that are going to affect this, but it's almost like if you were going to come back, like, try to do it a little bit quicker. I don't know. It's like, okay, we're going to have a plan in place to come back, but then it's 6 weeks later. That's it's like the air comes right out of it, and it's like people are like, man, by that time, who knows what I'll be into. I just thought if you were going to pull it off, I don't know. And they're still probably going to pull it off, but it just seems like that delay, the momentum comes right out of it. We're not talking one or two. We're talking 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It does, but that, you know, you make a great point for us on the outside. The announcement is made, everyone gets excited, the juices are flowing, and go, it's like, you know, that's 2 months from now. But the league, I guess,
Jamie, ideally it would have been, we've kind of, you know, we kind of backdoored this thing, and we've gone above the the rules and regulations, and you guys can have training camp in 2 weeks' time, and that can be 10 days, and then we're going to fire up. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm starting to think it's more bizarre to have the 24 teams in it because it's like it just takes more time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
why would you want to take so much more time?
I'm excited about it because I think what
so am I. But I just think if you look at it, and it would have been a perfect world if they said, "Okay, we're going to do this, but let's get things cooking." But I know that's not possible.
Right?
Well,
and
not right now,
and guys. If you think you're impatient right now, how about our next guest?
Yes, exactly.
The captain of the Calgary Flames, Norris Trophy winner, Mark Giordano. Mark, how eager are you to get back onto the ice and start playing some hockey games?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I mean, everyone wants to get back. I think, especially now with the last week or so or couple of weeks, there's been some easing of some restrictions. It feels like life's getting back to a little bit more normalcy, but I think everyone's really anxious. But at the same time, I think guys have been pretty aware of what's going on in the world and the situation with the coronavirus, and we have to be safe. We have to find a way to do both, be really safe about it, watch out for our health and our family's health. But I think it's really important that we find a way to get this playoff in, because it's going to help out the game huge. This is a game that's given all of us so much in our life, and we have to do whatever we can to move forward.
Gio, I was reading on the Flames website you talking about, I was surprised you even said this, but you're like, I'm becoming an older player. I'm an older player now. How have you been training? How are you staying in shape? Because you are a guy who's always been in peak physical condition. How have you been able to do that?
Well, I'm doing a little bit less bench press in my days with you, Noodles. not so worried so much about the chest and the arms anymore. I'm actually just really worried about cardio and speed. As you get older, I think the speed of the game is the one thing that you notice you have to try and keep up with, especially with all the young talent in the league now and how quick these guys are. So I really work on speed, cardio. I think you make the most mistakes on the ice when you're tired, so I try to keep my cardio up. And yeah, it's been a little bit easier. The weather's gotten a little bit nicer here in Calgary, so being able to get outside and do some sprints and quick feet stuff is it's a nice break from just riding on a treadmill or a bike in your house. So it's been good. But yeah, for me, those are the two areas, and I think body weight strength stuff is enough for me to maintain. I've been doing some of that at home too.
Gio, I've been off for a week, so I apologize if you are skating, but what kind of timeline does it look like until you guys can have kind of small group sessions on the ice and actually put some skates on and get moving out there?
Yeah, well, I was hoping that something would get moving by the, middle to end of this week. I'm still not sure about that, but, when they made the announcement that we're going to be able to train in small groups, I think everyone got, excited to move that process along as quick as possible. So hopefully we'll be allowed in here at some point soon, where even if it's, I think they were saying six guys or less together, even if you can just put the boots on and get back on the ice, it's so much different. The muscles you use on the ice compared to, just working out in a gym, you need to get those stabilizers and everything going again.
Gio, how was the information process going along with the, return to play committee? Was everyone brought up to speed? Were you involved at least kind of in the daily process and kind of figure out what they were trying to do? And are you fine with the 24-team format? Is that something you're excited about and will embrace?
Yeah, I mean, I think the committee deserves a ton of credit. I mean, I think they've gone through so many different scenarios over the past month and a half. And I just think there was no way you can, at the end of the day, there's no way you can penalize a team for not playing the same amount of games as another team. And I think that's what it came down to. The 12-12, I think it works best just because you had some teams who played less games and they didn't have the opportunity to win those games to try and jump ahead of other teams. And there was always going to be that argument, like, what if we finished the last 10 games? Who would have moved up? Who would have moved down? So I think out of all the scenarios, I think this one was the best one. The only other one I sort of liked was cutting the season, like getting everyone to 68 games, cutting it back and seeing where everybody was at that point in the season, and then putting 16 in just to make it like a normal playoff. But I, after reviewing it and looking at it, I see the argument of not doing that. So 24 teams is good. I think they've put together a good scenario. I think it's, you know, pretty fair. I still think obviously there's some teams that don't like it, but I think everyone realizes that there's a lot of thought and a lot of discussions around this, and this was the one that makes the most sense.
He is the captain of the Calgary Flames, Mark Giordano, joining us on Overdrive. And Mark, we know that the plan is to have two hubs, and we've heard a lot of suggestions on what those hubs would look like. And obviously safety is the biggest priority, but from a player's perspective and one who knows what it takes to play playoff hockey, what are some of the things that you hope these hubs have for you that can accommodate players?
Well, I think wherever we go, obviously, we're going to be staying in a pretty nice spot. It's going to be safe. The hotels that we stay in are usually great. So, no, just for us, I think the things that stick out for you as players, especially when you're going to have, looks like 12 teams in one hub, like what are the ice conditions going to be like? What are the practice conditions going to be like? What, you know, how are the conditions going to be different as far as preparation for these games? So that's the thing that looking forward most to hearing about. And I'm pretty confident with our league. I know they've done a great job so far, and I think they'll do everything in their power, obviously, to keep us safe as far as testing and things like that with the virus. So just looking forward to, you know, the next announcement when it comes of how those things are going to play out.
Gio, have you been treating this almost like an off season? It's been such a unique scenario. You know, all of a sudden we're not playing games, and then you're trying to figure out when is the next set of games. Did you almost say to yourself, like, okay, I'm going to go through my off season routine rituals where you're, you know, you take some time off, let the body heal, and then you go back at it? Or, you know, is that the same narrative you've kind of had in conversations with your teammates as well?
Yeah, I think most guys, what happened was at the start, there was so much uncertainty. We didn't really know what to do for that first week or two. But most guys were pretty close to being completely off, I would say. And then, yeah, a lot of guys traveled back to their home cities. So we stayed in touch basically over, you know, FaceTime and stuff like that. But I think most guys after the 2 to 3 week point, you realize, you know, there's a good chance that we'll be able to get this going at some point again. You know, the problem is, Noodles, is you don't want to burn yourself out before you start here. So you got to sort of time your workouts properly. I was even talking today, you know, with our trainers about, you know, maybe taking 3 or 4 days off in a row at some point to get that, you know, your battery recharged again, because a lot of us have been training in some sort of fashion here for, you know, a couple months now. So I think that's going to be the, you know, the million-dollar question. Obviously, we need to figure out when we're going to start, if we're going to start, and then you got to sort of time it properly so you feel real fresh going in.
Gio, with your profile, with what's transpired in the world the last several days, being the captain of the Calgary Flames and having the role you do in the leadership role, what is it like being a current athlete, and do you feel the need to say something or the pressure to say something? You just what Jamie talked about earlier, you want to sit back and gain knowledge and just learn from different people. What are your thoughts in as far as your profile is in the community, as far as kind of voicing something or saying anything?
Yeah, you know what? I've also taken the stance right now that I'm gonna educate myself, and I've been watching closely and following everything and listening. And I think whether you want to, you know, whatever you want to say or tweet or anything like that, I think, you know, we have to be educated on this and listen. And I think looking within, that's what I've been doing the past few days, and learning how to be better myself. And do better is important. But I think I've learned a little bit over the past couple of days, you know, I think athletes from all backgrounds, I think that's the one thing that stuck out to me. Athletes from all backgrounds have to show, you know, that we're together in this and we fight for equality. And you know, being a white athlete, I know the privilege that I have not worrying about, you know, I don't know, walking down the street, racism that my son won't have to face. You know, and it's sickening that it's not the reality for so many people. So I think we have to, all athletes from all backgrounds, I think we have to fight for this, fight for equality. And, you know, I think in the United States, you're seeing the people have had enough. And, you know, it's something that's happened before. This isn't the first time. And it sort of happens and then it goes quiet and another big event like this happens. This time we have to really all stand together. We have to make sure that it's not acceptable. And, I'm trying to do the right thing and say the right things. And, but at the end of the day, I took the last few days to really try and listen to people and educate myself on the whole situation. And, this is something that we have to come together and make sure that we all fight for this, you know, and fight for equality.
He's the 2019 Norris Trophy winner. And Mark, it's not just that you're one of the best defensemen in the NHL. You are widely regarded as one of the best leaders. And I'm also going to bring up the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award that you won back in 2017 at the ESPYs. And the reason why I bring that all up is because I keep thinking back to the day that the Flames named you the captain, and there's no way that you can prepare for what's going on in the world today on multiple fronts, what's happening in hockey, what might happen from a year-to-year basis, whether it's hockey-related or not. Are those all things that they're not easy, but you kind of take pride in as being a captain in the NHL, and it's not just a letter on your sweater, but it's kind of a responsibility that you take in regardless of you're equipped to do it right on the spot?
Yeah, I mean, I've always taken the stance where I've always been a guy, I think, who I want to lead by example and do the right thing so that guys, especially younger guys, the league's become so young now, they see you doing the right things and hopefully they can follow, right? You can say what you want, but if you're not doing the right thing, I don't think your words mean much. I had a great captain before me in Iggy, and learned so much from him, and learned just how he was so respected because of the way he treated people.
What about Noodles?
Noodles and Iggy, obviously.
Forget Iggy. Really what did that guy ever do?
Seriously, give me one solid thing you learned from Noodles. Like something. Like, is there anything productive you learned from Noodles?
Oh, it was great. Noodles was a great teammate. I mean, when the funniest
you can't
part
name
Noodles...
anything, though. You can't name anything.
No, the funniest part about Noodles was the switch that he would flip when he was the starter versus the days he was not starting. It was.
Oh yeah, his give a crap starting, meter wasn't there when he was backup.
The M&M's in his glove.
When he was backing up, he was getting the boys going, firing the whole room up. You couldn't shut him up, and then when he was starting, he was pretty focused and determined. So it was, he was full head to toe in his gear by the, I don't know, Noodles, what was it, like the 15-minute mark or something?
Oh, yeah. I was terrified for you guys in front of me, having to play in front of me. That's why I would get very focused. But actually, Gio, I wanted to bring this up. I know you kind of fly under the radar, but you and your wife, Lauren, have done some pretty special stuff as far as the grocery purchase during COVID in Calgary. Do you want to shine a little light on that, or at least give some love to your wife, who's been a big part of that?
Yeah, I'll definitely give her all the credit. She as soon as this started, she said, you know, it's terrible what people are going to be going through, and with the loss of work and people struggling to make their rent and stuff like that. So she actually went online, and there's a few great Facebook groups in Calgary who are, seeking out or reaching out to people and fulfilling some needs. And a lot of people are just looking for basic needs. I mean, groceries, you know, some people needed a laptop for their kids to do their online school courses, and we're obviously in a community here in Calgary that gives so much, and the people here are great. You know that, Noodles, how great the people here are when it comes to helping each other out, and we just want to be a part of that. So it's something we wanted to do, and she found these couple of Facebook groups that are doing amazing things in our community, so happy to help.
Great to get a shout out for Lauren, and great to have you on the show, Mark, and we hope that in, you know, kind of 6 to 8 weeks, whatever that time frame is, we're talking about you playing the Winnipeg Jets, which would be a great all-Canadian series. Win/if that happens, best of luck. I hear they have a good goalie, but I'm sure you guys will be fine other than that. So great having you on the show.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
There it is. Mark Giordano, captain of the Calgary Flames. And, you know, as you pointed out, like, it's you're excited for these playoff series. We would all be excited to see this all-Canadian matchup. But, again, it's like, okay, let's kind of pump the brakes for a little bit because we don't want to get into like the matchups because we'll need that material in a couple of weeks again.
And I heard Pierre LeBrun mention it. He said, you know, everyone's excited and there's talk about this coming back, but they're not exactly over the finish line yet. I want hockey to come back. I'm optimistic. I'm excited. I want the distraction. But there's there's a bunch of things that still need to happen for them to get across the finish line here.
Absolutely, and that's why Gary Bettman has said, when we return to play, this is what it's going to look like. That's why there's no hard date. He even said training camps will not start before July 10th. Like, that's the one thing the National Hockey League does have with all of this, and I wholeheartedly believe this, is the luxury of time. Because they want to start their next season, which whether it's January or you can push it back December or January, with fans in the stands. And that is going with that's going to become education. With that, hopefully, is treatment or a vaccine or some form where if I'm a 75-year-old person that has a pre-existing condition, I feel safe to go into a crowded space. And that's not just for 75. I'm just looking at statistics as far as, you know, how this has affected maybe that older generation. But it affects everyone. You want it to be a safe space for people to go, yeah, I'm going to go watch the Leafs play tonight, and it's January 15th. So the league doesn't want to have that next season start without fans. So I think what they're doing is, hey, we're going to have a 24-team tournament to finish this one off, but we may not start this until August 15th. So, you're right. It's going to be 6, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. What, you know, who knows? We can get excited about it, but now we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with our lives for the next 10 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is, because it's going to be a while before they sort it out.
Yeah, the business model doesn't exactly support hockey being played in an empty building. And, you know, we're talking a lot about the business of sport. When we return, will greed get in the way of baseball even playing at all in 2020? We'll have that and much more. Also, Darcy Tucker at 5:05, Marcellus Wiley at 5:25 as Overdrive continues on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and on the TSN app. Looking forward to hearing from a fan favorite on this show and a good buddy of both of yours. I know especially you, Darcy Tucker at 5:05. He's kind of filling in the role of Ray Ferraro, I guess, now for a little bit. So,
yeah, he's our hockey insider for the day.
I guess so. So he, we know that he's going to bring it. I said this before the break. We don't really know if baseball is going to bring it at all. And you know, we've heard the back and forth, and players want to get paid, and owners want to recoup some of their losses. And the latest is that the players' proposal is 114 games. And I'm going to bring it up to you two because I've never been in the situation where someone has either directly or indirectly called me a greedy millionaire. And both of you guys have had that because you've been through labor negotiations. When you read the story of how baseball is essentially not even going to play this year because of the money, do you have sympathy for one side or another? Can you? I know your players at heart, but like, where do you side here?
I will say this: not everybody thinks the same way that Max Scherzer does. He makes $42 million a year. Mm-hmm. He's one of the highest-paid people in baseball, and he's probably got 150 in the bank already. But not everybody's like that. Mm-hmm. And we've been in rooms where some guys—I mean, it's amazing during the lockout where when a guy needed a paycheck, because you're thinking, man, that guy's probably got a ton of money. He could wait forever to have a paycheck. Not every, you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes as right. far as people's money and what their situation is. And not everybody makes $42 million. And I was always a believer, like, you know, can we make it work on a salary? I'd rather make some money than none. So for me right. to say, you know what, I'm not taking another pay cut, you have to kind of understand. And I think it's just natural. I'll always kind of side with the players, but you have to understand there's going to be no fans in the building. There's right. this whole thing going on in the world. Like, you're going to have to probably take a chop. And if you don't want to take a chop, then you're going to make nothing and not play. So go ahead and do that. Isn't something better than nothing? That's the way I kind of would think about it.
I think most people think that, but Mark, you mentioned it, like the business model. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, baseball's a different animal. And I don't pretend to know the economics of baseball and where the money comes from, you know, TV revenue, all of that. But it's more for me, I was on the, let's call it the lower spectrum during these lockouts. I wasn't at the time in both lockouts that I was involved in making $1 million. I think I was at 775 the 1 year, and oh, you were at three something, or, you know, so we were in different stratospheres financially. But it didn't matter. Like, I left 775 on the table. O left 3 million on the table. Like, our livelihoods are what we are. And what I mean by that is our window to play is only so small. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're
going to
play 10
years.
Well,
Jamie, the stupid thing about that is whatever we all lost, $1 billion as a players association, because we right. didn't want to take a salary cap. And then ultimately, what did we do?
Took a salary cap. I get
so
that.
So what the hell were we doing?
Well, I think there was you know, there was more issues at play, and I get that, and I understand that. But and overall,
well, the biggest one was every meeting I was in, we're not taking a salary cap.
Yeah,
we're not,
you're right.
Just
and
like,
overall,
okay,
overall, I think the game is better for it. The game is better for you know, guys at the bottom end being dragged up, and the guys at the top are still making mm-hmm. all the money, and those are the ones that put butts in the seats. You know, they buy Austin Matthews jersey because he's a superstar. They buy McDavid and Crosby and all of that. Those are the guys that are getting paid, and so they should. But, you know, when I look at baseball, my understanding, again, just from reading about it, is they've given a lot back, and now the owners are saying, okay, give more. You know, this could be a ploy to try and break the union. You know, because of guys like me that are making 700 or less against guys that are making 45
sure.
million and going.
And you're going to go broke and you can't pay your
right.
your rent
and,
or your mortgage payment.
I thought Rob Ray was going to strangle me during the lockout. There was this. Remember that big group chat, Jamie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he sent a note saying, I'm thinking about crossing the line and playing if this happens or whatever. And I was like, yeah, and I wrote back. I'm like, yeah, because people can't wait to see you play hockey. Great job, Ray. I thought he was going to drive to my house and strangle me.
That is the
yeah,
worst
that's a tough
guy
question.
That you would want strangling you.
Yeah, that's
like,
a tough
I thought Rob Ray
comment.
Is coming, and he's going to hurt me. I was just like, yeah. Please do not. I just had to turn my computer off. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, but everyone's, you know, to my point, Mark, everyone's in a different situation. So we don't know what O said. Like, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, how they are set up financially, who they're taking care of, how much, you know, responsibility they have. And, you know, it's easier for a guy who is a lot more flush financially to go, mm-hmm. I'm set for life, so I can sit at home and do nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And as
I don't
opposed
think that's
to somebody
fair.
Who's fighting no. for their career going, yeah. I may not be in the league in 2 years. I'd like to make that money now and try and take care of things.
But you look at how big the business of baseball has become, and I can't yeah. help but think of 1994 if this goes down a really bad road. And I'm kind of showing my age because I was in that window of being a kid during 92 and 93 and the Blue Jays being the biggest thing in my life. And then suddenly that whole world was ripped away from me. Yeah. And then it took me a while to kind of love baseball the way that I did again. Like, I was always a fan, but it was different. And obviously the team in the city wasn't as good. But
right.
Tom Glavine, who was a part of the MLBPA during the early 90s, has even said, listen, if this is lost because of economic reasons, we're talking about the same situation as we had in 94, 95 in terms of getting the fans back. And you know, it's easy to look at what am I going to make this year, guys, and look at how much I'm losing. And you kind of have to take a step back and go, our business is going to be affected in the billions if we don't handle this properly, and we're going to be feeling it for years and years and years. And oh, you might only have 5 more years left in your career, and Noodles, you might only have 3 more years, and by the end of it, you're looking back and going, I cost myself $20 million or $10 million. And I know that the average person has no patience for that, but I fear that's what baseball is going to be facing. Anyways, Darcy Tucker joins us at 5:05, Marcellus Wiley at 5:25, and Dave Pullen at 6:25, and of course, the Tap Man at 6:05. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.